Arjuna was in deep sorrow. Karpanya dosho aparhit svabhavaha. He says, my mind is deluded by extreme sorrow. And what was his sorrow? We all know that. He had two problems. And the origin of sorrow was moha, ignorance, delusion. And he had two problems. One is, all these people will die. All my near and dear ones will perish and I will be separated from them. So the sorrow of separation. And the second was, I will be responsible for their death. So he had two problems. And where do these problems come? Come from wrong understanding of what is my duty, what I am supposed to do. And life also, we are faced with situations where we are not sure what is right, what is wrong, what I should do, what I should not do. And Arjuna was wise that he sought the Lord's refuge and said, Shishyasteham Shadhi Mam Tvam Prapanna, I am your disciple, please teach me. And so we also have to do that. When we have doubts, when we have problems, we go to the Lord, where he has spoken to us in the Bhagavad Gita. You say, where is God? Do I go to the temple? He doesn't speak in the temple. Christ doesn't speak. But if you read the Bhagavad Gita, you read the Bible, you read the Upanishads, that's where the Lord is talking to us in very simple, plain language. And that's why Bhagavad Gita is so popular, because it is meant for people like you and me who are working in the world. The Upanishads were meant for students who had given up the world and gone to study from the teacher. And that is for advanced students. So once we have studied Bhagavad Gita, that will make us ready to study the Upanishads. Though some people say you have to have studied 3-4 Upanishads before you understand Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita can be studied at a simple level as how to live life. Also, it can be studied at the highest level. Who is that highest entity? So Bhagavad Gita has both. It's a basic text. It's also a PhD text. So today's verse will address both. So Arjuna says problems will come. You know, it's not only, okay, first of all, Krishna says nobody dies. There was never a time where I was not there, you were not there, the kings were not there. Why? Because we are all that infinite reality, immortal, which Arjuna had studied the Upanishads. He says, yeah, but I have problems. I have difficulties. So Krishna says, difficulties are with everybody. Matra sparshastu kaunteya, shitoshna sukha dukha daha, agama apai no nityaha, tantitikshasva bharata. Oh Arjuna, problems come to everybody. Last week we spent a lot of time talking about it. If you have not attended, you can look, you know, Google Talks by Dr. Anil Mehta, and it will take you to the website called firstpower.info. You can listen to the previous talks. So problems will come to everybody, but you have to understand agama apaino. They come and go, and titikshasva, bear them cheerfully. So the message that Bhagavan is giving us towards the end of that, yam hina vyatayante te purusham purusharshabha samasukha dukha dhiram so amritatvaya kalpate. That also we talked about last time. So one who is not bothered by these sorrows and joys in life, sama dukha sukham dhiram, he remains balanced in joy and sorrow, sa amritatvaya kalpate, he becomes fit for immortality. So Arjuna has two questions, how to remain balanced and what is immortality. So balanced we have talked about last week, but we'll talk some more today. And what is immortality, what is eternal life, that we have to talk about. So the first trick of remaining balanced is to understand that something which is its nature, you have to accept. Like there's a young girl, 5-year-old, running around the house, fast. From mother says, sit down, don't run, she's tired. And so daughter says, mom, I'm 5 years old. It is my nature to run. She may not use such words, but I like to run. You know, and she has to accept that a 5-year-old will run around. You cannot make them sit down. And so once you accept the nature, and secondly, go above. It's like Suppose somebody in your house gets very angry. He's a very angry person. And you say, I have to control his anger. I have to change him or her. You can't change anybody. But if you accept that this person has an angry nature, first you have to accept. And second is rise above. Okay, the person is angry. I accept it. If you resent it, even inside you say, I cannot do anything about it. But I'm very angry about his anger. It's going to show. What you do is accept, okay, this person is angry, this person gets angry at times, or for myself, I get angry at times. So accept your anger and then rise above it. That is what that anger will be there, but I am not angry. This mind is angry, this mind is gets angry and it expresses as anger in the body, but I am above that. So when you accept it, then you can rise above it. So that is how you get balance in situations. And what is immortality? Immortality, as we have talked before, it does not mean you live in this body forever. Nobody can do that. 80, 90, 100, the longest person who lived was 122 in the history of Earth. After that, what? We have to. So what is immortality? Krishna, when he mentions, so amrit tat vaya kalpate, we'll talk in today's verse. Now, today's verse is very important, but it is somewhat difficult to understand. And also I thought it would be difficult for me to explain. All authors who have written commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita say that this is one of the most powerful, most meaningful verses. That's why all 700 verses are beautiful, but there are a few verses which stand out, and not only it's very powerful, it is somewhat difficult to explain. So I'll try my best with Bhagwan's grace, Gurudev's blessing and Mother Saraswati's blessings. We'll try today to study this particular verse. So it's verse number 16.
नासतो विद्यते भावः नाभावो विद्यते सतः उभयोरपि दृष्टोऽन्तः त्वनयोस्तत्त्वदर्शिभिः.
So Bhagavan says, asat means untruth or unreal, and sat means truth or real. So na asata, asata means of the unreal, of the vidyate bhavah, is never, which is unreal, never becomes existent. So there is no existence of the unreal. Unreal, that's the best meaning. Of the unreal, there is never an existence. Bhavah is existence. Vidyate is not known. That there is, it's not known ever that the unreal can become existent. And na abhavo vidyate sataha. Sataha means of the real, there can never be abhava. There can never be non-existence. Vidyate means is not known. So the unreal can never exist and the real can never become non-existent. Who says that? Bhagavan Krishna says that. But he says, who else knows it? You just say that. Do people know it? Has anybody ever studied this and described it? Yes, in the Upanishads, it has been described many times. Ubhayo, of these two, what is real, what is unreal, what is existent, what is non-existent, drishtaha is known, is seen. What? The antaha. Antaha means what is the truth, what is the essence of real and unreal, it has been seen. Now, what do we mean by essence, or what do we mean by antaha? It's like somebody, there's a movie running in town, Hindi movie in the Edwards Theater, and it's a 3-hour movie, and you say, before I waste 3 hours, let me at least know what it is worth. Is it worth or not? So some friend has watched. So you say, come on, tell me, what is it about? Tell me in brief, in 2 minutes, the essence of the movie. So then I'll know whether I should waste my 3 hours or not. So he tells you, say, okay, now I shall go. So anta means what is the truth, what is the essence of this, both real and unreal. Anayo, of these two, who knows? Of course, Bhagavan Krishna knows, but who else knows? People like Swami Chinmayananda and other acharyas who have written the Upanishads, they are called Tattva Darshi Bhihi. Tattva Darshi means knowers of truth. Tattva Darshi, Darshan usually means seeing. But when in the Upanishads, when they use the word seeing, they not mean physically seeing, but seeing with your mind. It's like somebody has a difficult math problem. He doesn't understand. He goes to his friend and his friend explains it. He says, oh, now I see. It's not that he's seeing the problem, but he's understanding. So when he said Tattva Darshi Hibi, he means the knowers of the truth. They know the difference between real and unreal, truth and untruth, existence and non-existence, and they know the essence. So what is it? Of the unreal, there is no existence. Of the real, there is no non-existence. So this existence, non-existence is very confusing. But a child will say, what's confusing? Existence always exists and non-existence never exists. So why are you wasting your time so much? Why do you say it's an important verse? But as I said, if it has come from the mouth of the Lord, it has to have some meaning, and it is a very, very important verse. So let us see what's the meaning of real and unreal, sat and asat, existence and non-existence. So real, what we think, what I can see is real. I see is this chair, it is real. If I don't see God, it's unreal. I don't know. So somebody told a teacher, what I see is real. So if I don't see it, it doesn't exist. So teacher says, I don't see your brain. So does that mean you don't have a brain? No, whatever I, does not mean what I see is always real. Like I see the sky as blue, but is it really blue? No, sky is black. And when you travel in space, there is nothing. The reason we see blue is because the sunlight, when going through the atmosphere, the blue light is the one that comes through, the others get blocked, and so we see it. Sky is an illusion. Sun rising in the east and setting in the west. Isn't it? Just because I see it does not mean it is real. I see the earth as flat, and people always thought earth as flat, and then Galileo and others proved that the earth is round. So just because I see something it is real and I don't see it is unreal, that is not the correct definition. In Vedanta, when they talk about real, when they talk about real and unreal, what they mean is temporary and permanent. What was not there in the past, is there now, and will not be in the future is unreal. Unreal means it does not have a permanent existence. What always was there, is here, and always will be there, is considered real, is considered sat. So this universe was not there. A few billion years ago, there was no universe. God alone was. And then the universe appeared, and all the stars and planets and galaxies. And then in a few billion years, it'll all be gone. That's what even science tells us, that everything will merge into one black hole. Bible tells us there will be deluge. Upanishads say there will be pralaya. So when this universe ends, God alone is, so the universe is unreal. You say, no. How can you say unreal? This table is real. When a pin pokes me, you can say my pain is not real. Okay. If it's, we'd say, okay, you're, for now, you just say it has a temporary existence. It has a relative existence. It's not permanent. That everybody agrees, right? I was not there a few years back. I'm here now. A few years later, I won't be there. This building was not there before 2006. It is here. In a few years, we may, you know, break it down, build something. So nothing in this world is permanent. Nothing in this world is eternal except God. God alone is. So this universe is temporary. Let's just take it as temporary, has a relative existence. Unreal, I think, will be hard for us to swallow. But hopefully by the end of this talk, I'll try to convince you that this world is unreal. I'll try my best. If you don't agree, you can throw tomatoes or eggs at me, but that's to be, I'm ready for that. So what is real and what is unreal? Gurudev says that to know a change, you need a changeless factor. So like for a river to run, a moving river, it needs a stationary river bank, a bottom of the river, not the bank, but the bottom of the river, the support. Without that and without the banks which are permanent, the river would go everywhere. So the river is going in a particular direction because it has a permanent support. So as we have studied also in the previous verse, that there is birth, youth, old age and death. Those are the changes. Now who knows the changes? You say, I know. I remember when I was 5 years old. I remember when I was a young man. Then I remember when I was middle age. Now I am getting old. And up to there we are okay. But we also have to say, I will also know my death. I, the consciousness, the Om, the Brahman, the changes will be there in the body. The body has to change. You know, body will get old, you know, face will get wrinkled, muscles will get weak, mind will keep on changing, my, you know, joys and sorrows will keep on happening, intellect, my ideas and thoughts will keep on changing, my vasanas, my desires will keep on changing, the perceiver, feeler and thinker, the ego will keep on changing, we'll talk about that. And the objects, emotions, and thoughts of the world will also keep on changing. But who knows? I, not the ego, but I, that consciousness that is ever existing, that is changeless. It's like I talked last week also, if there are two trains moving, you can't tell the speed. But if you're standing on the platform and the train is moving, you can say this is an express train, this is a local train. Why? Because I am changeless. So there has to be a changeless factor to know the changes. And there are many examples. Today my talk will have about 20 different examples, because the examples are the best way to hit the topic. So we'll start with the first example. The example number one, the rope. Rope and the snake, everybody knows. No Vedanta talk can be complete without mentioning the rope and the snake. If you haven't heard rope and the snake, then the speaker hasn't spoken. So here we know the rope is the permanent. When we are walking in the dark, there's a little dark and I cannot see very clearly. I see a rope, but not seeing the rope as a rope, I project a snake upon. I think there is a snake. And then I get scared and then I'm avoiding it. And then I accidentally step on it and I think the snake bit me. So I get the fear. And then a wise person comes and shines a light and said, wait, this is not snake. It's a rope. Why were you afraid? So in the rope and snake example, what is permanent? The rope, right? In that example, rope, of course, was not permanent, was built by somebody. But in that example, rope is permanent. A snake temporarily appeared upon that, right? It was my delusion. So rope on the rope, the snake appeared. And on the dawn of wisdom, the snake disappeared. So who is real? The rope. What is unreal? The snake. Another example is the dream. Now in the dream, I was there before the dream. I went to sleep. And in my sleep, I projected a dream where I was somehow going in a train and then I missed the train and then I was running after it and then I fell down and I scratched my shin and was bleeding and then they took me to the hospital and there and then I woke up and the doctor gave me a shot. Then I woke up from the dream and then I say, oh, thank God, this was just a dream. There's no train. I didn't fall. There was no accident, no hospital, no doctor. So I was there before the dream, right? And the dream temporarily appeared. So what is real? I am real. The dream is unreal because it is a temporary appearance upon me, the reality. So I, as I said, was there in childhood, youth, old age and death, but I was unchanging. Some people say, no. The ego was there. The perceiver, feeler, and thinker. I remember. So I, not the consciousness, but I, the ego. I, Anil, I remember. What are you talking about, Brahman? So we say ego is also known to somebody else. So I, this ego, also can be happy, can be unhappy, like a person graduates from, say, Stockdale or Highland High, and he's the, what do you call that? The who's the best one? I forget. Valedictorian. He's the valedictorian. He has all the highest grades. He's number one, you know, 4.56 GPA. So he's very proud. I'm the best in Bakersfield. You know what? Nobody has like me. And then he goes to say he gets admitted to Stanford or Harvard. He's very arrogant. And when he goes in the first week or 2 weeks, the studies are going so fast because they keep a fast pace. And everybody there seems to know more than me. You know, all the people are more brilliant. I thought I was brilliant. And they actually start crying. You know, people who go to these Ivy Leagues, they start crying. I don't think I can do it. I want to drop out. Why? Everybody is smarter than me. I am nobody over there. So that same ego, which was so proud, suddenly when it meets somebody who is better, becomes flat. So that ego is always changing. So who knew that ego when he was very arrogant? He did. And who knew that ego when he was very depressed and crying and calling his mother and saying, I want to drop out. I want to go to Cal State. I don't think I can handle. It's the same individual. So the ego, the perceiver, feeler, and thinker is also known to me, that consciousness. So even the ego does not know my birth, youth, old age, and death, but I know I, that consciousness. And Krishna says, you not only know all that, you also know your death, because after death, you will be born again. So there is nothing to grieve, because death is just a change of clothes. We will talk about that in the later verse. It is a station. You stop, and then you take a different train. Ye train khatam ho gayi. This train is over. Now I take a junction, I pick up a new train. What is to fear? So this verse is meant to prepare our mind, because we cannot understand. See, this concept seems very difficult. And so they say, prepare your mind. How do I prepare my mind? Suddenly I cannot think about Brahman, the highest, the formless, and I am that. I cannot never be that. I'm so useless. I cannot even, you know, assemble a simple table in my house. I have to call a handyman. How can I assemble this whole universe? I cannot be that Brahman, that consciousness. So we are not saying you made the universe. As long as I think I am this limited individual, whether it's Anil or Tony or Satish or whatever my name is, whether I'm male or female, then I will be at the body level. And you start from there. You start from there. Okay, my name is Anil. I'm a male. I'm a ordinary person. I'm a female. I live in Bakersfield. I'm not great. I'm not Brahman. We say, okay, start from that. We don't have a problem. But do not always be stuck in that, because it's like saying I passed high school and I do not want to go beyond because I'm good. No, high school is not enough. After high school, you need to go to college. You need to go to post-graduation. You need to get a career. You need to get a degree. You cannot be stuck in high school. So keeping on saying, I am this body, I don't believe anything else, is like you are stuck in high school. But start with that. So how do I start? That at the body level, develop titiksha. Develop equanimity in life's joys and sorrows. He says, matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukha dukha daha. Life's experiences will give you heat and cold, joy and sorrow, success, failure. Accept it and rise above it. So train your mind to remain balanced. If somebody is angry, I still remain calm. If somebody is happy, I still remain calm. If things are going very well, don't become so elated that, I am the best. Because then next thing will happen, you will go to a place where somebody is better and you will not be so happy. So in situations, there will be in happiness, be balanced. In sorrow, also be balanced. Does not mean, as we said last week, become a stone. But inside, I should not be disturbed. Joys and health and ill health will come. We'll all get old. We'll get back problems. You know, this and that. Everything will happen. So nobody is perfect. So at the relative level, start by being balanced. Do not get too elated, do not get too depressed. So you prepare your mind. So when your mind is calm, then you can rise above the mind. Otherwise, if your mind is agitated, you will always be in the stress. So learn to be calm, even in stressful situations. Once you train your mind to be calm, then you can go above the mind, which we, those of us who meditate, that's what we practice, going above the mind. And Thursdays, we do have a class at 6:30 on meditation, which some of you do come. And if you cannot make it, if you contact me after this. I have a YouTube video that I have prepared that somebody has recorded me. I can email it to you on what is meditation, why, when, where, how. You can watch it. And then there are some guided meditations. And I can send you that. And or you can even go to talks by Dr. Anil Mehta. And there you will find that the talks. But I have the YouTube video. If you want to watch it, please, you know, contact me after the at 1 o'clock, after around lunchtime. And I can send you that. So know the true value. What is the truly important? And we give so much importance to our body comforts, our mind, emotions, love, and our intellectual ideas. And I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, I'm a this. We give so much importance. We spend our whole life taking care of this body. We forget to take care of the spirit, the Lord that is within us. We don't have time. You tell somebody, come to Gita class. I am so busy. You know, Sunday morning I have to play golf. Or Sunday morning I have to go shopping. Or Sunday morning I have to do my paperwork. So we call Swamiji here and hardly 20 or 30 people show up. Such masterful speakers come. I don't have time. I am too busy. I am taking care of my children. I am taking care. If there was a party, don't you find a babysitter? If your friend invites you for her birthday or an anniversary. So take opportunity to listen to these Mahatmas. Give the true value to the important things and know the true value of what is and what is not. So the value we forget. We don't value the good things and we value things that are useless. Because these are all temporary. These are all changing. But that consciousness, the spirit is eternal and that is who I am. Learn to value that. Talking about knowing the true value, this guy was watching football. And you know, in football season, we call the wives as football widows. Why? Because Saturday whole day he's watching college football. Sunday whole day he's watching NFL. Only time he gets up is to get a beer. Otherwise, he's stuck to the TV. Maybe he might go to the bathroom once in a while. That's it. Otherwise, food has to come there. So this wife was reading the newspaper and this guy was watching TV and it was a commercial. So he got up to get a beer. Otherwise, he would never leave the couch. So he got up, he picked up a beer. As he was walking back, wife has not talked to him for two whole days, but she takes this an opportunity to talk, right? It's hard to get, even to for him to say yes on a Sunday, but he's walking back from this fridge. So she says, you know what? It's in the paper that this man sold his wife for a season ticket. Football season ticket. You know, in the Green Bay Packers, he was a Green Bay Packers fan. In Green Bay, to get a Packers ticket is impossible. If you have it, you give it to your son and to your grandson. It's in your will. Nobody sells it. And it's impossible to get. So this guy was a Green Bay Packers fan. So she says, look, this guy was a Green Bay Packers fan. He sold his wife to get a ticket, season ticket. So he didn't say, and he was walking back. Then she says, Would you sell me for a season ticket? He says, no, I wouldn't. She says, oh, that's good. Yeah, he said, I wouldn't sell you because the season is already half over. So but the point is that you have to know what is the true value of a thing and then judge its value. So here we have to know what is the true value of this knowledge. And pay attention to that which is important in my life. What is more important? Is it taking care of my body, my career, my money? Yes, all that is necessary, but that's not the most important. The most important thing in life is to know God. And that I have to value. And that has to be my goal, that from now on, till that my last breath in this life, I'm going to reach God. I'm going to realize I have to. And if I don't, it's okay. Then my life will continue. But I have to put all my effort, no matter what happens. Yes, I'll take care of my family, my property and everything. But not everything is secondary. So value that. So there are many examples. We'll just go one by one. As I said, today we'll have about 20 different examples. So like a drama. Now a child is playing a role in a play. And in a play, suppose their role is about Mahabharata or Ramayana, everybody wants to be the villain, like children want to be the villain. like in Ramayana, they say, I want to be Ravana. Ravana is the guy with the 10 heads and he kidnaps Sita and he gets to do all that. Ram is okay, you know, he's all right. Or Lakshmana, it's fine. They're very too good. Or in Mahabharata, they want to be Dushasan. I can pull Draupadi's hair. Or I want to be Duryodhana. Nobody wants to be Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira is boring. You know, he's good all the time. He always tells the truth. They want action. See, kids want. So they say, no, 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 no. But you know, as Ravana, you will be killed by Ram. Or as Duryodhana, Bhim will break your thighs. He says, no, no, mom, it's not real. When he shoots the arrow, I just have to pretend to die. Or when he hits with that mace, I just pretend to. So even the boy knows that this play is not real. Otherwise, if he knew that he was going to be shot by Ram and killed, nobody would want to take the role of Ravana, right? So he knows, the child knows, that this is just a play. Mom, you don't know. You know, you just think I'm going to get killed. It's not going to happen. So he knows that this play is a play, and he knows that whatever role he is assigned by the teacher, he will play without getting it too much affected. So that's how the divine mother, the divine teacher, has assigned a role to us, all of us, to play in this particular play. And whatever role you have been given, whether you are Anil or Sudha or Kusum or whatever my name is, whatever my role is, wherever I have been stationed by this divine director, in this play, he has given me the role, play to the best of your ability and know that it's not real. Even death is not real. Just as that boy knows, death is not real because I was never born. So I will never die. I am immortal. That's what we studied in two weeks ago. He said there was no time when the kings were not here. You were not here. I was not here. Krishna says we all were here and we always will be here. There is never a time when we become non-existent. So then such a person goes beyond death. Another example is Monopoly. Now in Monopoly, the children are playing Monopoly, right? And this is my $5, this is my $100, this is my $1,000. And he's keeping it very carefully. And he's not spending, he buys the houses very carefully and the, you know, factories and all that. And he's very possessive, these are mine. And if you come here, you have to pay rent. You know, he's very serious about the whole thing. And he won't give it up. But for the father, he knows his money is not real money. It's a monopoly money. So he doesn't take it seriously. If he comes to the house, he has to give rent. You know, he'll give it peacefully, $100. But if the boy comes in the father's house and he has to pay rent, no, I don't want. Why? Because he takes this monopoly as serious. But the father is Tattvadarshi. He is the knower of the truth. He's understood the highest knowledge. This is not real. This monopoly is not real. Not only that, but even his older sister, when she's playing, father will say, you know, let him win because otherwise he will cry. So even she knows, you know, this little child is crying, he's 5-6 years old, let him win. So we become very Tattvadarshi when it comes to monopoly. That's how you should be in the world. Even this monopoly money and this monopoly house and this monopoly factory. So even in this world, my money, my house, my factory, it's a monopoly game I'm playing. And when it's time to go, like, can you play Monopoly forever? No, when the time is over, you close the board, you put it away in the box. So same way, when it comes time for me, I'll wind up my body, mind, intellect. Chalo, I'm ready to go. Leave my house, leave my money, leave my... You can't take it with you anyway. You can't take your wife with you or your children with you. So why be so attached? Why be so attached to your money and things and house and beings and all? Sab chhodna hi hai. It's temporary. I'm a renter. It's like when you're renting a house and you have to leave it. Do you get sorrowful? No, it's not my house. Somebody else owns it. I'm temporarily renting. 3-year lease expires. I take my luggage and go. So my lease here is a little longer. It's maybe 60 years or 70 years or 80 years. When my lease has expired, landlord says, okay, your time, chalo, khatam. Time to go. What is to be afraid of? Consider yourself a renter. Don't say this is mine. I am here. I am not here. I'm just temporarily occupying this world. I am a tenant. When my lease expires, I will go. Another example I had heard is about animal cookies. So now this child opens this cookie box, you know, and he says, I want one camel, two horses, and two lions. Another, his sister says, no, I want three lions. I want two horses. I want a camel. After a while, the lions are finished. So somebody says, take a monkey. no, I don't want monkey, I want lion. Otherwise, I'll throw. He throws the box and he goes away. And he's crying. Why? Because I didn't get the lion, I got the monkey. And then the other brother says, see, I have the lion, you don't have. So then he cries even more. You know how kids are. But the father is Tattva Darshi. He's watching football and you put cookies, he just keeps on eating. You know, he's, for him, the lion or cookie or monkey, he doesn't even see, because he's more concerned about, you know, his team will lose, and in fantasy football, he will, you know, he will lose today. So he's more concerned about that. So he's Tattva Darshi. For him, they are all the same. Actually, they are all the same. Actually, the what is Sat in that? That is the cookie dough. That is real. Whether it's a lion or a monkey or a camel or an elephant, those are all appearances. The reality is the cookie dough, and that is what you are eating. Whether you're eating a camel or whether you're eating a lion or whether you're eating a monkey, you're eating the cookie dough. Your just name is different and form is different. Different shape, different appearance. So similarly, in this world, we are all there. There's animals, birds, plants, humans, fish, trees. But the reality of all is Om, the Sat, the consciousness. And that alone exists, and that alone manifests is all of us. So pay attention to what is real, the Sat, that is the dough, and do not pay attention to the Asat, which is temporary, which is an appearance, whether it's a camel or a horse or a monkey, they're all cookie dough. So same way, whether it's a human or a bird or a plant or a fish, they're all that consciousness. I am that consciousness, and everybody is not, you don't go around saying, I am Brahman, but I don't know about you guys. You know, you guys are not that evolved. No, everybody. So that, what that does is develop oneness, develop universality, develop love. In fact, our message for the Gita today is, my devotee loves all and hates none, you know, from the 12th chapter. So how can I hate somebody when they are all the same as I am? How can one cookie piece say I hate another cookie piece? How can a cookie lion say I hate a cookie monkey? You can't, because they are all one. In the cookies we understand, but in real life we don't. We always say I'm jealous of him, I like this person, I hate this person. So remember what is Sat and what is Asat. Example is gold. We have talked about gold has different ornaments. And the necklace and the bangle and all. And gold is changing, but the ornament, I mean, gold is permanent. The ornaments are temporary appearance, Asat and Sat. This reminds me of a beautiful story. There was a jeweler, and this man came to him. He was having financial problems. So he had three beautiful gold pieces, full, made of solid gold, in his house. One was a human being, one was a man. One was Hanumanji, you know, who is the big worship as God, because he's the devotee of God. So we worship Hanumanji as equivalent to God. So there was a human being, Hanumanji, and there was God Ram himself. So he had three. He had a man, he had Hanumanji, and then he had God Rama. So he had three pieces in his house, and he was having a lot of financial problems. So he said, I have to sell the gold to, you know, to pay my mortgage, pay my bills. So he takes this human being, man, gold, solid gold piece. So the jeweler measures, weighs it, checks the purity. He says, this is $1,000 an ounce. So I'll give you whatever, 50,000 or whatever, you know, how many ever ounces it was. So he paid him. The man was happy. He came home 6 months later. Again, he had financial problems, didn't get a job. So he took this Hanumanji now, this devotee of God. And by then, gold had gone up from $1,000 to $1,300 an ounce. So Hanumanji, he gives him $1,300. He says, ah, that's great. See, Hanumanji is worth more than a man, because he's devotee of God. He's very happy. He comes with $1,300, gets $60,000, $70,000, comes home. After 6 months, again, he has problems. So now he takes Lord Ram, Bhagwan, God himself, his image, and he says, I have to sell it. I'm so sad. I don't like to do it, but I cannot feed my wife and children. So he takes that God image to sell. And that time gold had fallen. So he says, I'm only going to give you $800 an ounce. He says, what? For a human, you gave me 1,000. For Hanumanji, you gave me 1,300. For God, you're only giving me 800. You should be ashamed of yourself. You have no faith. He says, look, for me, You may be thinking it is a man or Hanumanji or Ram. I only see the gold. So their name and form, and ultimately what am I going to do with Ram? I'm not going to put him in my temple and worship. I'm going to melt it. I need the gold to make jewelry. I'm buying it from you, not because I have any faith. Not that I don't have faith, but I'm buying it because I want to melt it. So whatever form you bring me, I'm going to melt it and make it into jewelry to sell. So the jeweler is Tattvadarshi. He knows the essence. But you and I get so caught up that this person is divine and this person is. So when we look at gold jewelry, what suppose I give you a ring. Now what are we valuing? The shape or the gold in it? The gold, right? If I say the ring is worth $500, it is because of the gold in it. If I give you another ring of steel, exactly same shape, same size, same appearance, how much will you pay me? $1. Now the steel ring is $1 and the gold ring is $500. Is it because of the shape? Because of the size? No, because of what it is. What is the essence of that? So the essence of the gold ring is gold. The essence of the steel ring is steel. So the value is not in the shape or size. The value is in the essence. So that is what we have to do. And we have to rise above our these likes and dislikes and values and all. Rise above the mind. Think higher. Don't only be stuck upon the lower things. Rise above. That's what our rishis tell us. That's what Swami Vivekananda also said. Arise awake. Stop not till the truth is reached. So do not stop till you. And this gives me a very beautiful saying by Mahatma Gandhi. See, Gandhiji told us, actually, when we talk about Sat, the word Sat, which is this verse talks about, Sat is translated as truth, and Sat is also translated as real. So truth and real, these are two meanings of Sat. And they are both actually the same. Truth is real and real is truth. So Gandhiji said, truth is God and God alone is. So truth and is are both God. And the way he used that in his life, he said that what is truth always exists by itself. Truth does not need a support. If I've said something is true, then I don't need to provide any evidence, witness. But if I have told a falsehood, if I have told a lie, then I have to hide it. Then I have to give various explanations. Somebody will find out. I have to remember to whom I have told what lie at what time. And then I have to give all. So lie needs a lot of support. Truth does not need any support. Truth can stand by itself. That's why our motto is Satyam Ev Jayate. In India, truth alone will prevail. So his idea was that this, and also good is truth, evil is untruth. So good will stay, but the evil is the one that will not stay forever. And that's what he said, the British government is essentially evil. And why is it surviving? Because Indians are supporting it. That's why a few hundred Britishers could rule over the whole country. Why? Because they had Indian soldiers and Indian police and Indian secretaries. An Indian bureaucrat. So Indians were supporting this British empire and allowing it to exist. And that's why when the Jallianwala Bagh massacre happened in Amritsar, where thousands of Indians were killed, who shot the bullets? The order was given by General Dyer, but it was Indians who were shooting the bullets at other Indians. So he said that we are supporting this evil government and that's why it is surviving. So what we have to do is we have to withdraw our support. Withdraw support from the evil and the evil will fall by itself. That's what he said, non-cooperation, non-violently, but we will not cooperate. We will not participate in the activities. So truth can stay by itself, but evil needs a support. So he says, pay attention to what is and do not pay attention to name and form. Like this book is. Glass is, mic is. So the isness. Now the book is the paper, but what is the reality of the book is paper. From the book, if I remove paper, say, I'll give you the book, but I'm keeping the paper. So what are you talking? If you remove the paper from the book becomes nothing. I say, I'm going to give you a gold ring, but I'm going to take out the gold from it, just give you the ring. You say, are you joking? No. The gold, if you remove gold from the ring, ring becomes nothing. You remove paper from the book, book becomes non-existent. So from this world, the reality is God. That alone is everything. My every cell of my body, they say, na, kan kan mein Bhagwan. Every cell of my body is permeated by that. So once you remove that consciousness, remove Brahman, then the world becomes non-existent. So isness is the God, the consciousness, Brahman. That alone is all the names and forms. Like paper, you can have different books of different shapes, different sizes. You can have newspaper, you can have this paper, that paper, you know, paper directories and paper encyclopedias. But the essential nature of all is paper. So the essential nature of all is God. And that same I is present in three states. I am there in waking. I am there in dream. I am there in deep sleep. But that I is the same. It is the Brahman, the consciousness. And he says, even in your thoughts. So when thoughts arise, oh, they bother me so much. Oh, I get so stressed out. I need to take medicine. I need to go to the doctor. I need to take Valium. Why? Because my thoughts are overpowering me. But thoughts arise in me because I give support to the thoughts. Thoughts are not important. I am more powerful than the thoughts. In me, the thoughts arise. When the thoughts were not there, I was there. When the thoughts arise, I am there. When the thoughts end in deep sleep, I will still be there. So do not let your thoughts torture you because I am higher than the thoughts. So pay attention to I, that consciousness. And that's what we do in our meditation class. So we pay attention to I, the Brahman. And when thoughts arise, you say, to whom are the thoughts? Who is supporting the thoughts? And that's how you go beyond the thoughts. And that's what Tapovan Maharaj ji, who was Swami Chinmayananda's guru, he said, every human is Superman. When he says every human is Superman, does not mean that we can fly, but just as Superman was immune to all the things, you could shoot bullets at him, you could do anything and nothing could affect him. So, of course, kryptonite, but that's not available on this earth. So Superman was immune. So you and I can become Superman. We can all become like Swami Chinmayananda or Buddha or Jesus or Shankaracharya. We are all capable. We all have that potential to become immortal. We just have to use this knowledge. Just a couple of other points. Can you just turn this? I can see it. It's okay. So people say, no. I don't believe all this bunk you have been talking for 1 hour. It's useless. It's nonsense. I am the body and this world is real. You cannot change me. You cannot change my mind. You can keep on talking. It's okay for Swami Chinmayananda to say it or Bhagavan Krishna. They were God. I am just a useless. I am this body. I'm not going to listen no matter what you say. I am this body. This world is real. Say, okay. If you want to say that, it's fine. But if I am this body, then I have to love all other bodies, just as I am made of five elements, air, space, fire, water, earth. Everybody is made, so they are all me. So at least start by treating everybody as one. And this world as a playground where I am playing. So Swami Chinmayananda, after his talks, he would always say, think. And so what the idea was that whatever we have heard today, please go home and think about. And all of you have now the Bhagavad Gita. I think last week we gave it, thanks to Kusum. So everybody has it. So please go home and read this chapter, this particular verse, because whatever I'm saying will very quickly run away. As soon as you walk out and after aarti, you take the first bite of your lunch, this talk will disappear very quickly. And I know that. So, you know, because same thing happens to me. When I listen to Swamiji, he spoke very nicely. But then half an hour later, it is gone. So you have to go home and read it. Think about these thoughts. You can make notes. or you can listen to these talks again. As I've said, you can Google and go to, you know, firstpower.info, and you can listen to that, because these kind of ideas are not very easy. I have been listening to them from Swamiji and others for more than 25 years, around 1990s when we got into it, so 27 years. So these ideas come slowly. It's not very easy. The first time somebody tells me, you are not this body, you are Om, you are Brahman, they say, he's not talking about me, he's talking about Jesus, or he's talking about Buddha, or he's talking about Krishna, he's not talking about me. So I slowly, these ideas, not that I have reached or I have accomplished or I have understood, I'm also trying like all of you, but it's just a matter of thinking about it and applying it. When sorrows come, bear it. Do not just give up life. Okay, I'm having a problem. I can't. No, the problem will come. I've had some surgery. Now I cannot do anything for myself. No, get up and do it. You don't have to just lay there. I am sick. No, it's okay. Everybody gets sick. So are you going to just lie down and let people serve you? No, get up and take care of your things. If you can't, that's different. But as long as you can do it, be firm and think. I will not perish. This is not the end. This is not my only life. I have had many such lifetimes. That's what Krishna says in the fourth chapter. You and I have had many lifetimes. I remember them and you don't. But even if I don't or not, the Upanishads are telling us, you had 84 Chaurasi Lakh, only 8.4 million births before you became a human. So accept it. What is there to fight? What is there to resist? So this is a very, very beautiful verse. I was going to talk about creation is impossible, that there cannot be creation. Actually, none of us is created, but we don't have time. I'll do it next week, but we have about 10 minutes. So any questions, any comments? And then, of course, the next verse, definitely I don't have time to do, but I would like us to ask questions, make some comments, and please participate. We have about 10 minutes. You can close the door. And then next week we'll start with that world was never created. I was never born. This world was, creation is impossible. You'll say, what do you mean creation is impossible? I see this house, I see him, I see this chair. You mean chair? We said, no, nothing was created. So we'll start with that next week, that there cannot be creation. Creation was not possible. Nothing can be created. So we'll start with that next week and then continue on the 17th verse. So any questions, any comments? Yes.
So I think all these are good examples, but there is another common one is this electricity flowing in different instruments.
Yes.
Fan and heater and hair dryer, and they all work differently, but you forget that the substratum of that is electricity.
True,
so
very
we
true.
We need to remember that that's life spark is in us.
Yes, yes, that's true. So electricity is the life spark in all the instruments, and in heat, in cold, in heater it's heat, in cooler it is cold, but the essence is electricity. So same way, the life spark is in all of us, but depending on our equipment, just as a fan is a different from a light, is different from an air conditioner, so that's why a plant is different from animal, different from bird, depending on the equipment, but the spark is the same. Thank you. It's a very good point. Thank you.
Gurudev writes about yourself as being awareness. It's like in the same awareness as in everybody, and that awareness does not die. This body can die, but the awareness is existent all the time.
Right.
So that's that, and that paragraph is worth reading for everybody in heaven. It's very nicely explains here that that is the one which illumines all your experiences, including your death.
Mm-hmm.
That awareness.
Yes, so the awareness is consciousness, which is the life principle, which makes us aware. Because if this awareness was not there, my body would not perceive the objects, my mind would not feel the emotions, my intellect would not think the thought. So it is the awareness, the consciousness. Thank you. It's a good point. Yes.
To understand when you say it, but how do you explain like the guy who shot all those people? Okay, his karma was okay.
I know that I was asked in the Thursday class. I can say that, but it might hurt a few people. But I'll tell you what my understanding of it is. If somebody gets hurt, you know, how do you look at it from a karmic point of view, from a Vedantic, you know, worldly wise, it is very sad. People died, their families are crying, their people are hurt, people are unhappy, and the whole nation is in mourning. I agree all that. It is very sad. It has happened, and it is something to be grieved. And that's why when Vice President Pence went yesterday, he talked about unity and all. But he did not say a word about what are we going to do to prevent this from happening. It was a beautiful talk. I heard every bit of it. But did he say even one word about why we, how we can prevent it? No. Not one person. They're all crying, oh, this was an evil, this was this. And he was evil. But are we? What are we doing so that it doesn't happen? It happened to the children in Sandy Hook and Newton. And again, there are people going and shooting with guns. And it's getting worse and worse. See, first it was 5 people, then 10 people, now 50 people. Next time it might be 500 because we are giving them more and more powerful guns. Anytime you try to restrict guns, the gun lobby will not allow that. So when you make guns freely, why would that person have 42 guns and thousands of... There should be a central registry. The moment you... Now we buy a car, there is a registry, right? You buy an air conditioner, there is a registry. You buy a microwave. That's why in the car, they can send you a recall even 10 years later that there was this difference. But why is there no registry for guns? We buy guns and you can buy any amount of guns anywhere, anytime, and nobody is to keep track of that. How stupid is that? That's number one. So we are making guns available, and sooner or later, there will be a madman. And this guy apparently was normal, but he something clicked in him. That's number one. Number two, again, I'm not trying to belittle the grief, but the people who died, they were country music fans. 90% of them owned guns. I can guarantee you that. A person who goes to a country music festival is a gun right advocate. He's a member of NRA. So you live by guns, you die by guns. If you own guns in your house, the possibility of guns killing you is very high. Who are the people who die of guns who have guns? A child will get a gun and shoot his brother, or a husband gets mad, he will shoot his neighbor. If you have guns in the house, that's a potential for killing, for getting killed. So karmically, if you own guns, then you cannot complain that somebody shot me with a gun. You owned a gun to shoot somebody, right? You don't buy a gun to play with your neighbor, no. That if I have a need, I will shoot him. So if you're living with a gun, you die with a gun. I'm sorry. I know people may not like this, but that's my number two. Number three, 50 people died, right? And so we are very unhappy and 500 got hurt. Every day, 50 people die in California in car accidents. Every day. Do we cry for them? Do we sit in the newspaper? Oh, today, you know, 50 people died. Their also wives and children are grieving, but they don't come in the headlines, oh, this and that. So the point is that when a person is born, he's bound to die. It just so happened that they died in a shooting. Somebody dies in a car crash. Somebody dies in the hospital. Somebody trips from his bathtub and falls and hits his head and dies. Now, is that a cause to die? When his time has come, people will go. Every day people, 200 people, 500 people die every day in California, but 200 die in a car, in a plane crash, which happens once in 2 years. Oh, planes are so dangerous. Cars are more dangerous. Every day, 500 or 1,000 people are dying in the US in car accidents. Why don't you stop going in cars? So the point is that when suddenly such incidents happen, 250, we magnify it. But death is inevitable. That's what Krishna says, that birth, the growth, disease. And when your time has come, whatever excuse, whether you die of cancer, whether you die of infection, whether you die of tripping, you know, in your bathtub, excuse are different. So the time had come. Let me finish. And then the fourth is that you just have to understand. And you see, some things you can't understand, you can't explain. But karmically, that's how you explain it. And at least You try to prevent it from happening in the future, and ultimately nobody dies. See, Krishna says, it does not mean that you take a gun and go around killing people. Okay, it's okay to kill because nobody dies. No, not that. Killing is evil. So the karmic consequences of that person killing, he will suffer. He's not going to escape. Even if he shot himself, he will suffer in his next life. So that is how I understand. I'm sorry if I hurt somebody's feelings, but that is how I believe it. And I'm not belittling the tragedy. I'm not saying that people are not suffering, but it is my understanding of what happened. And Nirut, my wife, said, don't say that. That's very wrong what you're saying. She gets very angry when I say that, but that's the truth. I believe that. You know, I'm sorry, but you had another point?
I know.
It's the same. That God is in him too. Otherwise, he won't have been able to pull the trigger. No, he is God, but he has different vasanas, his BMI. So just as the knife, you know, in the hand of a surgeon can save life, in a hand of a criminal can kill. But the knife is the same. It's how you wield it. So God is in him also. How did he use the power given to him by God to misuse it? And we're not saying he should not be punished. Suppose he had been caught, then he needs to be jailed. He needs to be, you know, even, you know, put to death. Obviously, he would get the death penalty if he was caught. So, but the divinity, that's what Christ said, hate the sin, not the sinner. So you don't hate the sinner, but you hate what this person has done. So there is one, if God was not in him, he would not have been able to plan. In fact, God was in him very powerfully. That's why he planned it so well. It took him months to plan, collect all the weapons and decide on the spot. He booked 3 different hotels in 3 different cities. So he was much smarter than you and me. So, yes.
Just factually, so I agree. That means because you just own, just like you own a gun and you go, then that, so meaning I own the car, that means I don't go to those shows because car can, no, that.
Yeah, I'm not saying don't go to the show, but I'm saying if you own a car, there is a very good chance you can die in a car crash. Suppose you never owned a car, then how likely is it that you will die in a car accident?
You can walk and you can die.
Yeah, but there's less chance. There is less chance. But if you own a car, there is a more chance. So what I'm saying is if you own a gun, then you are ready for violence. So that's, I'm not again blaming them for going to a show or for dying. I first started with that there is a lot of grief. But the point is that this country, everybody owns guns. So sooner or later, these things will happen. That's what I meant to say.
No, and that's fair.
If you own a gun, that means you're ready to shoot somebody and kill them. You're not buying a gun to garland somebody. So if you're buying a gun, it is the idea, I'm going to kill this guy when he comes. Yes, last point.
I read this joke. Like one guy went to the shop and asked for, like, I want to buy automatic rifle, 1,400 bullets of ammo, and a bottle of amoxicillin. So the shopper says, yeah, you can buy everything, but you need a prescription for amoxicillin.
Right, exactly.
So
right.
It means, like, how easy to buy the guns.
Right.
Then,
I know, you can buy 3 guns.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. See, when you're buying a gun, you're buying it with the idea of killing somebody. Or maybe for self-defense. But the idea is that if somebody comes, or if the government ever... So when you own a gun, then you are ready for violence. And everybody in this country owns guns. That's what my point was. I'm not blaming them for their death. But if everybody owns guns, then sooner or later, the guns will explode. Guns are meant to shoot and kill. They're not meant for loving objects. There's a store here called Friendly Firearms. How many of you have seen that? Oh, it makes me laugh that this is actually a store in Bakersfield. How stupid can you be? That says Friendly Firearms. I say firearms can never be friendly. They're meant to kill. Are we stupid or what? I mean, how are we thinking in this country? This country has thousands of times more guns than Japan. In Japan, you never hear of anybody being killed by a gun. In India, how hard it is to buy a gun. If you want to buy a gun, you have to go through so much headaches and so hard to get illegally you could buy, but legal guns are very difficult in every other part of the world. You cannot legally buy guns.
I have one statement or a question. Is there any statistic to actually show that all these gun owners have saved their life because of gun.
Right, no.
I mean, I don't hear one thing that, oh, my, somebody came back, I was like, kill my gun and I protected.
Very rarely. No. Right. Very rarely it happens. Like there was this doctor in Bakersfield when somebody came to beat him up, he took a gun and shot him. But that's very, very rare. Most of the time, gun is used by a... Right. Yeah, gun is mostly, mostly used by a child to kill his brother and there's so many accidents. Sorry, we don't have time. This is a very difficult subject. I was hoping nobody will ask me because I feel very strongly about it. On Thursday, they asked me and I said exactly the same thing and, you know, you did. So I'm sorry if I, you know, exploded, but that's how I feel about this. I'm not saying this tragedy is not a tragedy, but it was something that America called upon itself. You cannot just say, oh, there was this evil and there was this person who just went berserk. So it happened. Okay, he was evil, it berserk. But what are you doing to prevent it so it doesn't happen? Not a thing. Not a thing. A week later, everybody will forget and then they will go back to gun shows and buy guns and everything. Yeah, gun sales go up in all these incidents. And they'll buy more of those things that make semi-automatic into automatic because they're planning to ban it. So people will go quickly buy that. Anyway, just quickly, upcoming events. There is a music concert this, when is it? This Saturday, right? 14th. So very, very beautiful musicians, a young couple. They sing in a what's called a fusion where they combine modern and bhajans with a modern tune. It's people who have heard them say they are outstanding. So please come. The concert is free. There is no charge. We'll also have dinner. If you wish to make a donation, it's totally optional. And then we have Diwali on October 22nd. So that will be a lot of fun. We'll have dinner and we'll have the children singing and all that. We'll have lunch. It will be part of Bal Vihar, 11 o'clock. And then 23rd to 26th, Swami Advaitananda Ji, he's a very good speaker. It is his first visit to Bakersfield. And he will be talking on 11 to 12 on Bodhisar, which is a beautiful text. And then evening 7 to 8:30 will be Ramayan, Ram Gita. But Ram Gita also has a lot of message. It's not just singing of Ramayan. He sings very well, but also has a lot of teaching in that. And this music concert also will be 7 to 8:30. So Hari Om, thank you very much for coming. See you next Sunday. And we'll start with that there is no creation. I'll try to convince you of that. I hope you are convinced of real and unreal, but if not, I tried my best. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramaya Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Makaschid Dukha Bhagbhave Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Hari Om.